One of the often overlooked aspects of retirement is how to best use your leave entitlements that you've got banked up. So on this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look at the best ways to use your leave heading into retirement. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here and joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good. My mortgage didn't increase by as much as I feared last week, yeah. So only a 25 basis point rise.
The market was happy with that.
Market was happy, then market was unhappy. Sort of a real Jekyll and Hyde. There's no pleasing everyone. So
Never is.
Can't investors. We need the rally to come, I think. So, we'll be patient.
That's it.
In other news, we always cover off on the weather. It's been wild.
I think the South Melbourne market was like underwater.
Yeah.
A little bridge that I usually go under, that was flooded. So
I was putting in paving out the back and ended up with a swimming pool.
Oh, geez.
Beautiful. So no sloshing around in there. So, other than that, I think... what I've been thinking about lately, just a couple of clients I've been working with are transitioning to retirement. We're just really fleshing out what to do with the accrued leave balances that they've got. And when I'm talking about leave, annual leave, to a lesser extent, because a lot of the time, hopefully you're taking it, enjoying yourself.
Mm.
People might have built up a little bit over the last few years with nowhere to go. But long service leave is the one where you sort of people can accrue weeks, months of this stuff,
yep.
Maybe even over a year. I don't know. You'd have to sort of be a very long-term servant. And then, potentially this applies to anyone that's been working over 7 years. So there's some legislation changed a few years ago that's now made long service leave a lot more flexible in terms of how you take it.
Yep.
You don't need to take it in big chunks. You can use it anything more than a day, basically. So similar to annual leave, providing it's agreed to with your employer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of keen to pick your brain about what are some strategies, how could people approach using their leave balances so it might support their lifestyle better, be better from a financial standpoint, and then sort of, a little bit of outside of the box thinking to go, hey, how does this fit into my broader plan and improve quality of life, I think. So... I've set you up there. So
yeah,
hopefully
there
we've
go.
Got hopefully you've got a lot in the yeah. kit bag.
So. Yeah, so this is like an interesting one to think about, because if you do use it properly, and it's just all about like what we normally discuss here, is making each dollar go further. And the big one that often people think about when they're looking at this is the tax implications of this. So it'll obviously depend on the time of the year that you retire. So you may retire at the near towards the end of the financial year. So you've obviously then worked pretty much a full financial year. And then if you're going to take it as a lump sum then, so you take it as a lump sum instead of an ongoing payment, you'll have all that money come in that financial year. So essentially you'll be raising your tax up potentially quite a bit if you've got a lot of benefits there. So you could be going up several marginal tax rates and increasing the amount that you're getting paid there. Whereas if you decide to take it as annual leave and as an ongoing payment, well, it kind of stretches that out across another potential financial year then, rather than taking it all in the one. So if you think of, obviously, the tax system as a sliding scale up and your percentages increase the more you earn, if you're taking a lump sum of, say, let's say it's $100,000 worth of leave, well, that $100,000 goes on top of your... what you've already earned during that financial year.
Mm.
So that's what, like, for one of the first things you've got to think about is, okay, what's the implications of this? If you're retiring in, July or August or something like that, maybe it's not such a big deal from a tax perspective because it might work out in a similar fashion. But that's probably one I'd look at there. Is there any other tax implications you'd think about, Pete?
No, I think that's a good point, because what you do by going into the next financial, you get to utilize your tax-free threshold and start again. So sort yep. of you start from square one. And, if you've only got 20,000 of leave, well, you might actually sort of avoid paying tax at all.
Yeah.
Which is pretty significant. So the more money in your pocket, the better.
Yeah, it's like 20,000 at you know, it could be at the 45% mark or...
Yeah, because it could be right on... Because it just gets whacked on top of your sort of current income. So I think that's really, really important. And for high income earners out there, I guess the other one is like thinking about if you're, you know, just on the cusp of Div 293 tax, that's the one where you don't want to sort of thrust yourself up into there and pay extra concessional contributions tax. So, you just got to really understand, like, what is my assessable income this year as it stands today? Mm. What bonuses, what incentives might come in before the end of the year? And then how do I massage this, calculate my leave, do your calculations, understand what is the lump sum that I'm going to get paid? So what's my annual leave? What else am I going to get as my final payment? What is that total income going to be for this financial year? So if it's going to be drive you above 250,000, so if you're in that zone just below there, you might want to tread carefully and go, hey, okay, could I approach this differently? Could I defer this a few months or so, and then push it into another financial year or spread it across? So, yeah, it's just that thing of doing some simple arithmetic and getting it right. And look, if you get a curveball thrown at you, you get a much larger bonus than usual, well, we'll probably cop that one on the chin. But
it could be like a lot of people have accrued a lot of assets, you know, as they get close towards retirement. So there's a lot of other things. You may have property portfolios and all of these things that are generating money. So, you know, a lot of the times your higher earning years are towards the end. So it can be a big difference in terms of looking at how you best tackle this, because we don't want to be giving money to the ATO unnecessarily.
Oh, absolutely. So now superannuation's the other one, Zach. So I know we were chatting about this off air before. So what's one of the key considerations from a super perspective? Yeah. That should be important if you are leading up to retirement.
Yeah, definitely. So I think with the superannuation, if you decide to take your leave before retirement, so like as though it's ongoing, then your employer will contribute the superannuation guarantee contributions. So you won't necessarily receive these if you take it as a lump sum. So that's an important one to note, especially then when you've got it ongoing going into the super. But you've also got then potential eligibility for contributions as well, Pete.
Yeah. So for those that are sort of in that zone of 67 or 74, like the work test is still relevant for... not for non-concessional contributions, but for personal deductible contributions. So probably linking, I think everything's linked, isn't it? You sort of draw a spider web from every strategy. But yeah, there's some tax planning considerations in there as well. So yeah, and where this might be relevant is if you're in that zone of 67 or 74, you just got to think carefully and go, okay, I need to really think about maximizing what I can do in terms of superannuation. So if I've got less than 1.7 million in there, well, you haven't reached your cap. It's the best tax environment you can probably achieve for most people. So then you might want to offset some of the tax you're going to pay by getting personal deductible contributions up to your concessional caps of $27,500. So, and that's on top of using your strategy to sort of stretch out how long you're getting superannuation guarantee for. So, yeah, I think that's a smaller group, smaller cohort of people that are impacted by that, but it should just be that cause to think and go, okay, I'm in this age zone. Let's have a think about this and sort of when do I do it? How do I do it? And have a chat to your employer and sort of keep the dialogue open to see if you can, you know, manage it to best impact both you and your employer.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else from a super perspective that we should be looking into when thinking about this one?
No, they're the main ones, I think. So, there's a lot of, I think super's important as a side issue in terms of what are you doing with your super when this money's going in, how do you treat it if you are trending towards retirement.
Yeah,
but realistically they're the big ones. So you're chatting about some Centrelink implications as well.
Yeah, so I think there's obviously some other things that you need to think about when deciding whether or not to take the leave as the lump sum or an ongoing payment. So a potential implication of taking the leave as an ongoing payment is that if you were eligible for Centrelink, so the age pension, so if you're around age pension eligibility age and your assets and income test without your work income or employee income going in would mean that you're eligible. Potentially by taking it as ongoing leave, you may be ineligible due to the income test. So that's something to note as well, whereas if you took it as a lump sum, there may be some circumstances where you may be eligible, but this could delay it further. So you may be then another year without being eligible.
And that's because of the lump sum payment. The lump sum is not assessable as income, but it will be assets tested, subject to deeming once it's in your bank account.
Yep.
So, which, yeah, do the, you got to do the calculation, make sure, see if it fits, and definitely one to consider as well.
For yeah, sure. And the deeming rates are fairly favorable, I guess, compared to if you're receiving it as ongoing income. So, so it makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah, and get, invest it well, make sure you're making more money than what deeming is.
That's it.
So, and everyone's a winner.
That's it. Is there anything else that you'd look at for this one?
Did we cover off on the fact you keep getting leave while you're on leave?
That's one of the one of the main bonuses.
That's a nice one, isn't it? So you sort of stretch out your time, and you consider doing one of these things where you can do it at half pay. You can go, hey, I'm going to go to 3 days a week, and I'll get paid 1 day per week of leave. So there's all these really good strategies that you can employ with your employer. That might just work out well because there's a skill shortage. People are wanting to hang on to really good team members. So then have a chat to them and go, hey, could I do this? Because all that time while you're still dragging that out, dragging it out sounds negative, but prolonging your work life there, you're going to be accruing leave as well. So you're going to be accruing sick leave. You're going to be accruing annual leave, importantly, and more long service leave as well. So I think... that's an important one as well. So it's not going to be a game changer in terms of
it could be a couple of weeks of, potentially a week or two or maybe more.
And I think with all these things, it's not just about the money, but it's going, hey, does this fit with my plan? And I think everyone's super and asset values have taken a bit of a hit this year. So you might go, well, I did want to retire next year. I'm a bit nervous about where things are at. You know what? I'm happy to do it. I just don't want to do 5 days a week anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I would like to do? I'd like to do 3 days a week, but I can't afford, I don't want to really drop down and sort of start drawing too much on my super. Well, something to consider would be going, hey, can I go 2 days, 3 days per week and then get a top up from long service leave replacing that 1 day per week is something that we're sort of exploring with one of my clients at the moment. So, and their employer's up for it. So they're like, great, yeah, we want you here.
Yeah, especially at the moment when, it's not easy to find people. it's a shortage, as you mentioned.
So I think if you're ever going to have an open and honest conversation going, hey, look, this is what I want. And everyone understands, I think... most people at some point get to a stage where they go, you know what, I just don't want to work as much and I sort of want to focus on other elements of my life. And this might be a really nice, smooth transition where you're getting the best of both worlds. Social interaction, feeling like you've got the mental cogs ticking along.
Mm.
But also, you're managing your tax position, you're stretching out your leave, you're still building your super. And then when you're finally ready, you can... say goodbye, but it might be something that you actually enjoy doing, sort of that lower amount of work or just a few months a year. So,
well, a lot of people, it's as we often talk about, the retirement's not necessarily pulling the pin and completely stopping. A lot of people still want to be doing something, or they like what they do, they just don't like it at the intensity that they're currently doing it at, or whatever it may be. So, that gives you the option to potentially have the best of both worlds where you can still have income coming in. You're still accruing leave, but using a little bit of your annual leave during the time, so you're not working as much.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Well, hopefully some people transition into retirement and got something out of that. But also, you might do it and go, hey, I'm going to take some long service and go and do some study.
If you're looking to leave your employer and you want to do a quick...
that's a bit cheeky.
Yeah.
I was trying to...
You want to do a little break or whatnot? A lot of people are doing that.
Sorry to all the managers and small business owners out there. But there's other things you can do as well. You might be expanding your family and want to spend more quality time at home. So I think there's a lot of good uses for this. And I think it's a great update to the way we can access long service leave. So, if you've got any questions, definitely reach out to us at connect@picarda.com.au. But otherwise, we'll see you back here same time next week.
Thanks, Pete.
See ya.